Parchelim Yotzos Kvulos, on the top of Dafnun Dalid Omid Aleph. Mike Vulos, Shemechablim Alya Shalahem Lamato, that the owners in this case tie their tails downward. Kidei Shalo Yalu Aleim Azcharim, that this is not the time for procreation. My Mashma Dahai Kovul Lishna Delo Ovid Perihu, how do we know that the language of Kovul, as used here in the Mishnah, indicates the opposite of period of Arivia, in other words, to freeze the process of procreation. Dichsiv, we're going to derive this from a pasuk in Melachim with regard to Hiram, the king of Tsur, and he was getting paid back by King Shlomo Melech for what he did to help in the building of the Migdash, and he was granted 20 cities in Galilee, but he wasn't happy with what he saw in those cities. And the pasuk says, "Vayikra lahem eretz kavul ad hayom hazeh," and he called them the land of kavul. My eretz kavul. What's the meaning of eretz kavul? Amar Rav Huna, shahayu ba bnei adam shemechubalim bekesef ubezahav. That they're individuals who are completely wrapped up in silver and gold. They're wealthy people. They were not interested in working on behalf of Hiram. They were not productive. And again, that word kavul means not productive. And that's how the Mishnah used it in the case of the ewe, that the rechelos, if they're tied up with kavul, it means kavul to stop the procreation process, the productivity, by covering over their genital areas. Amalei Rava said to Rav Huni, Hachi Hainu Dichsiv. In the previous pasuk it says Kilo Velo Yoshru Bi'enov. Why was the king of Tsur, Hiram, why was he upset with the cities that were wrapped up in Kesev Vizov? Why is it Lo Yoshru Bi'enov? Why didn't these cities please him? The people in the cities please him when they were wrapped up in silver and gold. Amalei, in. That's exactly why he was displeased. Kevan dasire umefanke, since they were so opulent and they were very mufunakim, you know, they wanted everything to be just so. They were hygienists and maybe they were washing their hands every time. Lo avdi avidita. They didn't want to work in the king's service. And he was hoping that he could hire them to work for him, but they were too opulent and they weren't interested. So that lack of productivity is indicated by the word kavul. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, he has a different interpretation of this very pasuk in Melachim about Eretz Kavul, and he says, Eretz Chomton Hoysa. Chomton is a kind of a, what word can I use? Let's see what word he uses here in the Hebrew, just 1 second. Chomton, he says, Adoma Melucha Umevukas, She'eno Oseperos. It's some sort of the science of this earth is that it's very salty and it's very full of crevices and it doesn't produce. And now the Gemara asks, "For my korile kavul?" So why did he call this earth kavul? Dimishtarga ba kara ad kavla. Because if a person, kara means his foot, his kavla is his ankle, and mishtarga means it went down. So his foot would go down to his ankle. I guess the earth was such, and it was not productive, that the top layer of the earth was... I'm not exactly sure why the salty nature of the earth or the crevices such that he could sink into the earth. but such land, such earth is not conducive to producing. The Amri Inshi, and people actually have a phrase, Ara Mekavla Delo Avdi Peri. The earth is ankle deep and it doesn't produce fruit. And once again, this is another proof that the word Kavla means that it's not productive. And this is the way that the owner of the ewe ties down the tail in order that the male ram should not have relations with. Now the Mishnah goes on, it says, Kvunos. It's another kind of tying down of the ewes, which is also prohibited on Shabbos. My Kvunos, Shemechabnim Osola Melas. Now, Melas is a kind of a clip. Mechabnim means you put on a clip. And the melas is a special kind of wool. And that wool, if it's tied up and protected by a certain covering, then the wool remains, white and pure. And Rashi points out over here that when a lamb is born, the mother actually cleans up the fleece and makes sure that it remains white. And the owner of this lamb, if he wants to make sure that it remains white, because that's the best wool that you can sell on the market, he wraps around the lamb a piece of leather and he clasps it together with hooks. So milas is this very high-quality wool that's white, and it's a result of the process of putting this strip of leather around the lamb. And that's not something that you can allow the animal to go out in Rosh Hashanah. Correction, that since it's protecting the animal, therefore it's allowed in Rosh Hashanah. And in this last case of Kvunos, even Rabbi Yossi, who's not excited about the other protections, he will allow it. Kvunos. And although Rabbi Yossi in general says that these kind of items that are added onto the animal are a masa, they're a burden, but he agrees that in the case of Kvunos, where it's protecting the wool, that already becomes like a noi, and that's mutter. According to Tanakama, even kvulos is mutter, because that's also for the protection of the animal, in the sense that it protects the animal from conceiving, from, you know, this act of having the zohar mount on top of the female, because right now, at this particular moment, for the protection of the animal, it should not be getting pregnant. I mean, this is something that, you know, the Shepherd Society has to decide, but that's according to the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Yossi allows only this one case of kvunos. And that's for the beauty of the animal to keep its fleece very white. Kidisnan. And this is a Mishnah in Masechet Negoim. Si es kitzemer lavan. Right, we're talking about different kind of manifestations of skin discolorations. And saras is an expression of some sort of dermatological, pathological state. And in this case, if you have something called sa'es, that's a siman of saras. And the Mishnah says it's kitzemer lavan. Sa'es is very white wool. And the Mishnah says, my tzemer lavan, well, actually, Rabibi Barabai says, my tzemer lavan, he says, b'tzemer noki ben yomo. It's like the clean wool of a lamb on the very day of its birth. Shemechabnim osov lemelas. And they fasten around at these straps around the body of this lamb in order to cover it for the purpose of producing this melas, this very high-level, white, superior quality wool. And in that sense, it's considered, according to the Tanakhama, something that protects, well, I shouldn't say protect, but at least protects the whiteness of the wool. And that's called a noi. That's something that's very important, and it can be accepted as part of the way the animal goes out in a normal way. It's not an extra masa. Then the Mishnah allows izim yotzos tsruros. So the Gemara is going to explain that you take two goats and you tie them together. That's going to be one possibility. Another possibility is that you tie the udders of the goat together. And the Tanakhama allows you to put on the udders in that way. Rabbi Yossi says it's asur. And then we're going to have a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda right down the middle. Rabbi Yehuda is the compromise sheet. He's going to distinguish between two cases in which he ties this thing around the bottom of the animal near the udders. One case can be mutter, one case can be asur. And if it's for the protection of the animal, so it shouldn't produce milk, and that's why you tighten the udders, you tie them up, that's already protective. And if it's protective, it's not a masai. On the other hand, if it's for the sake of collecting, dropping milk, that's going to be asur. Itmar, we learned, Rav Omar Locha Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda with this middle shita. Ushmuel Omar Locha Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel is going to prohibit letting the goats go out with this tied, this kesha, this pouch, or whatever is tied to their udders. Some say that Rav and Shmuel argued about this on their own without any relationship to the Mishnah. It could be that Shmuel would not want to argue against the Mishnah. Maybe Rav is a Tana, he could argue against the Mishnah. But Shmuel would not want to argue against the Tanakhama and Mishnah, so he said it on his own. Rav Omar, liyabish mutter v'lo lecholev. So if it's to dry up the milk, that's permissible. That's a protection for the animal. But lo lecholev, not to collect the milk, that's already a separate entity. That's not part of the levush of the animal in any sense, and that's a mas. So Shmuel Omar, echad zev echad zed osur. Shmuel would say, reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that even in a case of le yabesh, it's still asur. And if you ask me, why didn't Shmuel just say halacha ki Rabbi Yossi? And the answer is because there are various interpretations of Rabbi Yossi. Tosus points out that there's muklefes hashita, and some say Rabbi Yossi said the exact opposite of Rabbi Yehuda, as recorded in our Mishnah. Well, perhaps Shmuel didn't want to argue against the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Ika demasni le aha. Some say that the statement of Shmuel was attached to a brisa. And here's the language of the brisa. Ita izim yotzos tsuros liyabe shavalo lechelev. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera amru kach halacha. It means the following. According to Tanakhama, in the case of a goat, if you tie some sort of a pouch to the udders, if it's for the sake of drying up the milk and that's protection for the goat, that's okay. That's not a masa. So I have a low lecholet, but not to collect the milk. And now they quote Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera, and he says, Kach halacha, aval mi mefis. He made this very interesting phrase over here, a colloquial phrase. He says, who's going to draw lots? Meaning it would be almost impossible to prophesize Eizu liyabesh v'eizu lecholev. So if you're watching this tying of the tsuros, how would you know whether it's liyabesh or lecholev? When we talk Shem Makirin, and since no one would be able to know whether he did it for this or he did it for that, is therefore even in the case that he's doing it to protect the animal, which is called liyabesh, nevertheless, it's osur. Omar Shmuel, v'yamri le Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bisera. So Shmuel accepted this chumrah of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, such that even in a case of liyabesh, it's still considered a masa and it's asur. Now, the primary focus of our Mishnah so far, at the beginning of this parak, has been on what is permissible for an animal to go out in Rishus Rabban on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah that we're about to start is the opposite of Amer Eina Yotza, what would definitely be considered a masa, and we would not allow the animal to go out with it. And we're going to have a whole enumerated list. Now, some of the cases which are asur are not because of the concept of masa, but because of a fear that they might fall off if they're loose on the animal. And the owner, since he's concerned about this thing that fell off, he might forget himself and carry it for amos in Rishus HaRab. So there are going to be two issues here. One in terms of masa, that the animal's working on Shabbos. And the other is that the Yisrael, the Bala Behema, the owner of the animal, he himself might come to violate Shabbos. Lo yetze gamal bi mitul teles. Right, the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion about what mitutelis is, but apparently it's something that's used in the context of a masa. So let's say, for example, the animal is carrying a load, and the load sometimes slides on the animal's back. So the mitutelis is a strap that somehow ties down the load in such a way that it shouldn't slide off the animal, especially when it goes downhill. Mitulteles is also what we call a mardas. Again, a mardas is relevant to a donkey. A mitulteles is relevant to a gamal, to a camel, but they're the same thing according to this interpretation, and that means it's a saddle cloth. And if this be the case, perhaps we're worried in the case of a saddle cloth that it might fall off and it'll carry it arba amos b'shus harab, as we mentioned earlier. Because to say that a saddle cloth is a masa, that's a little bit difficult. I mean, the purpose of the saddle cloth is to warm up the animal. So I don't know why that would be a masa, but it might be a sepik zera that it might fall. Rashi, he has his own interpretation of mitul teles. He thinks it's a cushion that actually goes between the tail and the strap on the tail, and that prevents the strap from chafing the animal's skin. And that would certainly come under that which is not a masa. So we have to figure out why lo yetzia gamal bimitul teles if it's there to protect his skin. Then the Mishnah says, lo akud v'lo ragul v'chein shar kol ha-behemos. Akud is like the Akedah of Yitzchak, means to be bound, and Ragul has to do with the foot, and sometimes the owner of the animal wants to tie up, so to speak, the feet of the animal so it shouldn't run away, or he might bind the animal, let's say tie together the front legs with the back legs in order that the animal shouldn't run away. And all this is also on Shabbos because it's not a malbush in any way. And it doesn't protect the animal. I mean, it only protects the owner from losing the animal. And this applies, says the Mishnah, to all animals, not just to camels. And that's the Iser of Lo Yetze Akud Rogul. Then the Mishnah says, Lo Yikshar Gmalim Zebazeh V'Yimshoch. He says that you're not allowed to tie camels together and then pull them, and you're hoping that others will follow. And the Gemara is going to give a reason why this is asur. Avol machnis chavolim litoch yado v'yimshoch. What he can do is, he can gather the ropes together that are tying up many different camels, put them all into his hand, and pull them with that rope. That he's allowed to do. Again, the rope is going to have to come down, you know, it's bevad shel yikroch, because if it comes down, he could grab onto it, and therefore he could pull the animals. Now, why is a rope that's used to pull the animals not a problem of masa? And this really takes us back to the beginning of our perek, when we spoke about the rains and different kinds of straps that he uses to control the animal. That's something that's very necessary. But the Mishnah stipulates ubilvad shelo yikroch. If he winds the ropes around his hands, then he won't be able to pull the animal, because he needs to grab onto a rope, and now the rope is completely wound. And in this case, it would seem that he's making the akud or rogul, you know, all the no, well. Actually, let's leave out akud or rogul. He's basically making the, you know, the handle or whatever you call it, where he wraps around the ropes into some sort of a. Maybe a noy, maybe it's something to adorn the camel, but it's not something that functions for him to carry it, because he cannot grab onto the rope if it's wound around, you know, around his hand. Let's look at the Gemara. Tana, lo yetze agamal bimitu telas akshura lo biznavo. We have a brisa that adds something to our Mishnah. We spoke about mitul telas. Perhaps the strap that anchors the load on the back of the animal from preventing it from sliding off, and that's not allowed in Rishus Harabim. And where is this mitulteles tied down? It's actually a strap that's tied down to the tail of the animal, so that the burden that's on the animal's the load on its back would slide down, especially when the animal goes uphill, towards its tail. And now he wraps around this strap over the tail of the animal. Aval yotze hu b'mitulteles hakshura biznovo ubechotarto. So he's allowed to go out with a mitulteles that's tied to both the tail of the camel and the hump of the camel. So now, it seems we're talking about a whole different topic. As we said at the outset, when we started this Mishnah, there are two different issues here, and they overlap. When you're attaching things to the animal in Rishus HaRabim, one issue is going to be whether it's a maso or it's for the protection of the animal, and it's part of the animal's apparel, so to speak. The other issue is going to be, could something fall off, and he might inadvertently, be tof b'hola, he might carry it for Amos in Rishus HaRabim. And the latter is what's relevant here in the case of a mitulteles. We're not interested in whether it's a maso or not. Let's assume that it functions in a way that we can justify it, and it's not a maso. And let's say he'll use the mitulteles, and he'll be able to control the animal. But we have another problem, and that is our problem is that if it's not tied, in this case, to both the tail and the hump, it might fall off. And if it falls off, we're afraid that he'll carry it in Rishus HaRabim. But if it's tied securely to both the tail and the hump, that's a secure way. We're not afraid it'll fall off. And if it's mutter, again, all because it's not a masa. Omar Rav Bar Avuna, Yotze agamal b'mitulteles hakshura lo bishil yosa. Here's another case where we're not afraid that this mitulteles is going to fall off. We're talking about the camel is about to give birth, and its placenta is partially out. Sometimes, you know, when you tie up something on the animal might feel uncomfortable at some point and will shake it off. But the animal will not shake off mitulteles in this last case, because this mitutelas is preventing the placenta from falling out. And also, if the camel will push the mitutelas and shake it off, that's going to cause the animal pain. So we're not afraid the animal is going to push off the mitutelas and it'll fall, and the bialim will pick it up and carry it to Aladamas, and therefore it's mutter. Lo akud velo ragul. Om Rabbi Yehuda, akud akidas yad veregel. And the impression you get here is, we'll see as we go along, that he's tying down the foreleg with the hind leg. And the equation here is Ki Yitzchak ben Avram. At the Akedah, in the case of Yitzchak ben Avram, the hands and feet were tied together behind him. Now, when you tie together the hands and the feet, again, it's hard for us to even imagine this in the case of Yitzchak Avinu, but the neck is stretched out, and that facilitates the Shechita. And the Pasuk says, Vayakodes Yitzchak. So the word is Akeda, Akud. And Akud means when you tie the hands and the feet together. In the case of an animal, there are no hands and feet, but we have the forelegs and the hind legs. So that's called Akud. We're going to soon see what's the deal, what's the din if he ties two forelegs together, or he ties two hand legs together. Now we have Ragul. Ragul shelo yachuf yado agabizro v'yikshar. So let's translate these words literally and then try to figure out what they mean. He says that he should not bend the lower foreleg onto the upper foreleg. Do you follow what's going on over here? What he's basically doing is, there are two parts of the leg, right? If you can look at your own leg, right, you'll see there's the upper part and the lower part. And what the word regel means here is that the regel itself is tied up, the bottom leg is folded over, meaning it's bent over, and now it reaches from the back, you know, the upper part of the leg, the thigh we'll call it, and he ties those together. And that's prohibited. That's what it means, hobbled in English, or in Hebrew, it's called ragul. And once again, this is all done in order to tie up the animal, make sure that it doesn't run away. And that's not something that's permissible. You know, I would have asked myself whether it's permissible even during the week, because this would seem to be Tzar Bali Chayim. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara has a kasha from another Braisa on the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, and it says, Akud shtei yodayim ushtei raglayim, rogul shelo yachuf yado agabizro v'yikshar. Now, there seems to be a contradiction from this braisa to the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that we just learned, because according to this braisa, you remember that Rabbi Yehuda thought that akud means the leg up front with the leg in the back. That's what he's tying together. The braisa indicates that he's tying two yadayim or two raglayim, meaning yadayim meaning we call it the foreleg up front, and the raglayim are the hind legs. So he's tying these two legs to each other. That's akud. Not the way Rav Yehuda interpreted akud, that he's tying together the front leg with the back leg. Ragul, I think, is exactly the same as what we saw before, Rabbi Yehuda. Let's just check it out again. Ragul shel yachuf yado al gabizro v'yikshar. So that's the same, and that we're talking about folding over the leg itself and tying that very same leg. But the Braisa has a different definition of akut. So does this Braisa upshlug Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says no. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda can stand on the shoulders of a different Tana. Who the Amarki Hai Tana, the sign you have a Braisa that says akud akedas akidas yad veregel. So that the word akud includes not just the shtei yadayim, shtei raglayim that we saw in the first Braisa, but also includes akidas yad veregel, which means he ties the front leg with the back leg, and that would support Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Braisa has the second possibility, o shtei yadayim ushtei raglayim. He ties the two forelegs together with the two hind legs together. Ragul, again, this we've seen over and over again, shlo yachuf yado al gabi zroo v'yikshar, which means to bend the bottom part of the leg with the top part of the leg. Vakati lo dummy. He's still not, shall we say, comfortable with the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Bishleim reishav seifa nicha. But mitziyasa kasha. In other words, the first case of akud, the first definition in this braisa, where he takes a yad and connects it, he ties it to the regal, that's fine. The last case of the braisa is also fine. Ragul, because that was identical with Rav Yehuda's understanding of ragul. So bishleim reishav seifa nicha, but mitziyasa kasha. Rav Yehuda never spoke about an akud situation where he ties together the two legs, the two forelegs, or the two hind legs together. And that's explicit here in the braisa when it says, O shtei yadayim, ushtei raglayim. Now, this second definition of akud, where the two legs up front are tied or the back ones, that's against Rabbi Yehuda. He said that akud is when you take the foreleg and you tie it to the hind leg. Now, in order to appreciate the Gemara's kasha, let me read to you a line from the Ritva, which I think will help put the pieces together. The Ritva on akud, with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, says that bo lomar, Rabbi Yehuda's point is, when akud means you tie the front leg with the back leg, shirak ba kedas yad veregel asur lo lotzeis, avak sheshtei yodeo kshuros yachad, if you tie the two forelegs, or shtei ragle, the two hind legs, kshuros yachad, mutur lo lotzeis. In such a case, the animal is allowed to go out into rishus harabim. And he says, "Ha'isur bi'akud hu shekevin shabehema mitzta'eres harezem masui." No, that's not going to make sense here. Let's separate between the Ritva and the Lavush. Lavush came a few centuries after the Ritva. The Lavush says that the isur in akud is because once the animal is suffering by this tying process and binding process, then it's no longer something that could be considered part of the animal. It's foreign. It's mitzayer. It's mitzayer the animal. It's by definition it's a masui. But what the Lavush claims is that if you tie together the two front legs or the two back legs, the animal doesn't suffer, or at least its suffering is very minimal, and therefore it's considered ois masui. But the bottom line is, whether we go with the Ritva or we go with the Lavush, it's crystal clear here that Rabbi Yehuda would allow tying the two front legs together, the two back legs together. And that's against this braisa. Now again, there is a possibility that is raised here in the note, in the name of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that the Isur of Akud is Mishum Shema Yipol. I'm not exactly sure what he means by Shema Yipol. Maybe the rope itself is expensive and he'll end up carrying the rope if it falls off. And Bikshira Shtei Yodayim Shtei Raglayim Akesha Mehudak Heitev. It's very easy to tie with a very solid knot, you know, the two legs that are next to each other. And therefore we don't have to be afraid that the knot will come out, the animal will get its way out, and the rope will be on the floor, and he might come to carry it. So now we're still stuck with the challenge of the contradiction to Rav Yehuda from the Braisa. So the Gemara answers, Elohu Diomaki Haitana. Now it seems like there's a third Braisa. Akud Akedas Yad Veregel Ki Yitzchak Ben Avram Rogul Shelo Yochuf Yodo Al Gavi Zrovi Yikshar. So this Braisa clearly excludes that middle case in the previous Braisa of Shtei Yodayim Shtei Raglayim, because the concept of Akud in this last Braisa exhausts itself in Kakedas Yitzchak, which means the front and the back. The Mishnah now says, "Velo yikshar gmalim." You're not allowed to tie camels to one to the other and pull one of them. My taima, Amar Rav Ashi, Mishum de Mechse Keman de Ozel lechinga. Chinga is a marketplace. So when they used to take the camels to the marketplace, they would tie them together. And we don't want anyone to think that on Shabbos he's bringing his camels to the marketplace. Now, let's just point out here that the camels are tied together, and again, it looks like they're coming to be sold, which is Asur min Rabbanan on Shabbos. But if someone who takes his camels out for, let's say, to drink in a river, he would simply, I mean, in other words, how do we know that when he ties together the camels, in the perspective of the onlooker, he's going to sell them? Because if he was going to bring the camels to a river to drink, or whatever it might be, whatever purpose is, then he would hold each camel in its own leash, respectively, separately. The fact that he grabs them all together and ties them together and moves them together, that's because he's taking them to the market. Avol machnis, but what he's allowed to do is gather together their ropes into his hand, pull them all together, again, if he doesn't wind the ropes around his hand, and that is the equivalent of separate dragging, you know, separate pulling for each animal. Each animal has its own leash, its own rope, and he has them all together in his hand, but he's carrying and dragging each camel separately with its own rope. And if that be the case, then even though all the ropes are in his hands at the same time, and he's pulling them all at the same time, but he's really pulling each one separately. And if he pulls each one separately, as we said before, that's not what we call kimanga. Right? What was the language here? Lechinga. Sorry, chinga. Okay. Now, Omer Rav Ashi. So, we have to add one point before we jump ahead to Rav Ashi. We're not allowed to wind the rope around the hand in such a way that there's nothing hanging down. No part of the rope is hanging down. And Rav Ashi says, Lo shanu el inyan kilayim. That this halacha is only relevant to kilayim. In other words, wrapping the ropes around his hand is not a Shabbos halacha. Our Mishnah is addressing the issue of kilayim. We'll try to explain how it's relevant to kilayim, but You know, the first question I want to raise with you is, Vusef, is where in our Mishnah are we talking about Kelayim? The Mishnah is all dedicated to the laws of Shabbos, but we'll get to that later, Mirtz Hashem. Now, what is Kelayim? The Torah says in Parshas Ki Teitze that you cannot have, you know, when the animals are pulling, let's say, a plow, you cannot have two animals of two different species. We're going to see about a human being together with an animal in a minute, but two different species of animals, Lo tachra shar v'chamar yachtov, that's a separate Issa Kelayim. That's in addition to the Issa Kelayim in Levush, in Malbush, which is codified in the Torah Parshas Kedoshim, where you're not allowed to wear a garment that's made, that's weaved together both wool and linen. That's called shatnis. That's a different type of Kelayim. That's not relevant to us right now. So the Gemara asks, Kelayim demai. Where is their Kelayim over here? I mean, is there any indication here that they're two different species? We're talking about taking, you know, the ropes into his hand, pulling all these camels together. Where's Kelayim? Elaim a Kelayim to Adam. Maybe it means that since the rope is around his hand, then he, together with the animal, or the animals, is pulling whatever they're pulling together. So when he wraps the rope around his hand, and in effect, it's like, you know, he's tied down, just like the animals are tied down, and together they're pulling something. So the Gemara rejects this. V'atnan, we have a Mishnah in Kelayim, that says Adam Mutar im Kulam Lachros Velimshach. You know, let's say a man is activating his animal to do Harisha, and he wants to pull together with the animal this gigantic plow, heavy plow that he's allowed to do. The whole Isur of Kelayim is Shor v'Chamor Yachtav, is two different species of animals, but there's no Isur of a man working together with an animal. Elo kilayim de chavolim. Ah, now we're getting to a shatnez issue. And we're going to have to assume that there are ropes that are made of linen, there are ropes that are made of tzemer, of wool. When he wraps them around his hand, he creates like a new beged, a new cloth of kilayim. Now normally kilayim is also bilavisha. Here he's not warming himself, it's not an act of levisha, but perhaps we're going with the Dover Shein Miskavin over here, that he might warm up his body by virtue of the fact that he wraps these ropes around his hand. Or, for example, we could say that it's almost definite that he'll warm up his hands in this case, and he'll get some sort of hanos levisha, which is inevitable in this context. So again, he's not intending to warm himself up with the ropes, which would be an Iser of Kilayim, of Levisha's Kilayim, but it's inevitable. It's a psikresha. So Gemara rejects this too. Vatanya, we have a Braisa that embellishes that very Mishnah in Masechta Kilayim. Hatokev Tchifa Achas Eino Chibur. In order to create an Issa Kelayim, you have to take Semer and Pishtan, and you have to weave them together. But if you have just some sort of loose connection, you know, he wraps around his hand ropes that are made of wool, ropes that are made of linen, that's not what we call Tchifa Sheyesh B'Chibur, which would be Tchifa Achas. You know, we need a real Chibur. The Torah says, Otil Bashatnis Tzemer Pishtan Yachtov. And the word yachtov means that he joins together both tzemer and pishtan in a permanent way, not with some sort of weak connection. You know, you put a woolen cloth and a linen cloth, and you pass one needle through one. You know, put the needle through. That's not considered tied together. You have to really knot them together in a permanent way. And here too, the fact that he's wrapping his hands around with two, you know, with the material, with ropes of two different materials, that's tchifa achas. That's not kilayim. The Gemara says, "Liolam kilayim dechavolim." In fact, there is kelayim here. And why hachi kamer? This is what the Mishnah is telling us. Ubilvad shel yikroch v'yikshar. You have to add the word v'yikshar to the Mishnah. Now, what happens with the yikshar? When he does a kshira, well, here you have to know whether it's, is it, no, kshira really in kelaim requires not, we said tchifa achas was mutter. Here, he must be doing more than tchifa achas, otherwise, what does Gemara mean? Liolam, kelaim, v'chavol v'yikshar. So it must be the kshira here is not one knot, but it's rather two knots. And once he ties two knots together with these two ropes around his hand, he's creating a beged. And one is made of wool, and one of the ropes is wool, and one is linen, and therefore he violates kelayim. Now, let's go back to the discussion about pulling camels, right? We said that in the case of camels, he may gather their ropes in his hand and pull them all together. So he's pulling basically each camel separately, but simultaneously. And he didn't wind the ropes around his hand. Amar Shmuel b'vad shelo yetze chevel mitachas yodo tefach. What does this mean? We're talking about the end of the rope. Is it hanging down or is it not hanging down? If it hangs down, the end of the rope, a tefach, then he's carrying the rope. No, so he's not just leading the animal. So if there's a very limited space or amount of rope that's hanging down, so that's already part of the rope that he is using to pull the animal, and that rope is attached to the animal, and that's fine. But once this a strap of this rope, a significant amount of a tefach's worth of rope that's hanging down, says Shmuel, you can't tell me that he's pulling the camel with that piece of a tefach that's coming down, that's hanging down. Therefore, we have to assume that he's carrying that piece of tefach. It's not connected to the animal, so to speak, to a separate entity, and then he's violating Meleches Hotzah, or more precisely, Havara B'Shus Arab. Now, V'atana Debei Shmuel and his academy brought brises down, and they brought a brise that says Tfachayim, that the shear is not, the heter is not up to a tefach, and then add a tefach, it becomes also, but it's up to tefachim, to tefachim, and then it becomes also. Omar Abai, hashta di omar shmul tefach, v'tonid be shmul tefachim, yishmul alocha lemaise, osa lashme'inon. In other words, despite the fact that there's a brisa, and the brisa says up to tefach, and that's surely Shmuel's opinion, that up to a tefach is mutter, but Shmuel did not want to answer a question to a questioner who asked him, tell me, halacha l'maisa, what should I do here? Shmuel wanted to give a little extra rope, pardon the pun in this context, and he told him that the rope shouldn't hang down a tefach. And that's the way you should answer a shayla if you're a rav, because you don't want people to violate what could be a melech of hotzah, of havara, dalet amis d'oraisa, of a melech es Shabbos. So in order to give yourself a little distance, tell him that up to one tefach, but not beyond one tefach. And here we're turning to the top of nun dalet amin beis. So the Gemara asks the kashva atzanya, we have a brisa, says, ubilvad she'agbiya min akarka tefach. In other words, he's allowed to pull the animal by its leash. And all he needs to do is make sure that the leash is at least a tefach above the ground. So we're not talking about the tefach that's coming down from the rope that's wound around his hand. We're talking about the distance between the karka and this tefach that's hanging that's hanging down. But certainly you could see from this brisa that if the end of the leash extends beneath his hand, that's fine. And there's no shear, there's no no, how should I say, limitations or qualifications. We just have to have one condition fulfilled in this price, and that is that the rope that's coming down is a tefach plus above the ground. But there's no indication that if the, you know, this price, that if the rope protrudes from his hands, one, two tefach, whatever it might be, that that's a problem. So Gemara answers, Kitanya ahi bechavla devene bene. That price is addressing the question of the part of the rope that's between the person and the animal. Right? When he's holding the rope, he's not holding it immediately connected to the animal. Obviously, there's going to be some extension between him and the animal. And the brisa is not referring to the end of the rope at all. That wasn't the issue in the brisa. You know, as far as the end of the rope is concerned, well, that you have to see Shmuel about that, and he'll determine whether you can allow it to, you know, if the end of the rope is a tefach, or he's, you know, he's going to say a tefach is osur, halacha l'maisa. But rather, the brisa is referring to that little piece of rope between the hand of the leader of the camel and the camel itself. And that length is not relevant as long as it's always a tefach above the ground. Because if that rope dips down to below, to less than a tefach above the ground, then it doesn't look like he's pulling the animal. It looks like the rope is some sort of a masa that the animal is carrying. And that's what the Gemara is telling us here, Kitanya ahi bechavla deveni beni, that piece of rope, which is between his hand and the animal itself, if it dips down to the ground, and it's below a tefach of the ground, then nobody would see that he's using the rope to pull the animal. He's all the way down at the bottom of the ground. The rope appears to be just a masa. This leads us to the next Mishnah, which Emir Hashem will cover in tomorrow's Shiur.